Good morning. I'm so glad to be here once more to bring the word of the Lord. We are all welcome. And this is the blessed day the Lord has made, in which we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I can see we have got some branches that are not usually seen in front. So this just tells you what this day is today. It is called Palm Sunday, traditionally. Amen? And I'm going to preach in line with this very day from Scripture. I'm glad that she has mentioned that Pastor Ko arrived well in Malaysia. We give glory to that. And I want us also to just take some time right now before I go into the preaching to just pray for the Easter Sunday. I know each one of us have got names of people that we've been praying for. Maybe it's friends, maybe family. I just want us to find that time, each one of us, to just call those names unto the Lord to say, Lord, have your way in their lives. And also, as we are praying, I just want to remind us that we need to also pray for the portal, as Brother Rajiv and the wife has been, you know, doing a great job, that as they continue to minister, God will continue to touch those lives. Because last Thursday, I received in the Bible study someone who was there, and they testified how God had ministered to them. So let's do that. And also the Bible study. Amen? We started the series. So let's just find that time to pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are so grateful for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, because you are the God who is merciful, the God who is able and is more than able. Right now, as the congregation, we lift up those names of friends, of family members that have been invited, Lord, for the service of Easter. We pray for your visitation over their lives. We pray for the divine transformation upon them, Lord. Meet them at their points of needs, O God. In this season, may they experience the power of your death, the power of your resurrection, O God, in their lives, in the name of Jesus. We just declare that, Lord, you will draw them to yourself by the power of the Holy Spirit. For your word says in the book of John, chapter 6 and verse 44, that for no one can come to me unless him being drawn by my Father in heaven. So we pray, Lord, that by the power of your holy name, by the power of the Spirit of God, you are drawing men and women closer to yourself in the name of Jesus. We commit the entire service, Lord, before you, that, Lord, you shall move and you shall touch lives. Even today, Lord, we pray that Holy Spirit have your way in our lives. May you minister to us, O God, in the name of Jesus. We also pray for Pastor Michael, that as he ministers in Malaysia, Lord, use him as a vessel of glory to the glory of your holy name. I pray, mighty God, that even as we've come this morning, open our ears that we may hear what you are saying to us today. Use me as a vessel, Lord, to declare your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to read from two portions of Scripture. I'm going to begin with the book of Luke, chapter 19. So let's go to Luke chapter 19, and I'm going to read from verse 39 up to 44. Then I'll go to John chapter 12. I'll read verse 12 to 15. Luke chapter 19, verse 39. I'm reading from TNIV. The Bible reads, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, If you had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come on you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and your children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you or the time of God's visitation. Let's turn to the book of John. John chapter 12, verse 12. The Bible says, the next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's coat. Praise the name of the Lord. This morning, I want to talk about what I've entitled, Knowing the Lord's Visitation. Knowing the Lord's Visitation. That's why I started from the book of Luke. It is very important that we know when the Lord visits us. Because if we do not know, then we are not going to have the benefits of his visitation. Looking at the portion of scripture that I've just read first from the book of Luke, we are seeing the story begins on top in verse 28 all the way to 44. We can also add in the things that Jesus did in the temple. But from verse 28, we are hearing that when Jesus was near Jerusalem, actually the Bible tells us, there is a city that is mentioned called Bethany. When he neared there, he sent two men to go into a village. The village name is not mentioned. He sent those two men to say, go and find a donkey. Now, he gave them a very clear instruction. He said, go this way into that village. You are going to find a donkey which is tied, and no one has ever ridden on it. Untie it and bring it to me. And if the owners ask of you, tell them that the Lord needs it. Now, that is very interesting because you can be wondering, you know, somebody just goes and finds a donkey, then they untie it. Yeah, it doesn't sound very usual, you know, in our contemporary. But this is what happened. When the owners ask you, say, the Lord needs it. Now, that word will be used as a password, just as the Lord instructed them. So they went. They didn't ask to say, no, please, could we untie this donkey? They just reached there and started untying it, just as the Lord taught them. And then the people came, they were like, whoa, 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 what's happening? Where are you taking the donkey? And then they used the same word, which I've called the password. The Lord needs it. And amazingly, they said, okay, go ahead, take it. And then they took it to the Lord. They mounted it and had the Lord Jesus Christ sit on it. And then they started now going into Jerusalem in a procession. From Mount Oriv, where the Lord Jesus Christ was, it is estimated that it was about 2 miles from Mount Oriv to Jerusalem. So it doesn't mean that Jesus rode all the way, 17 miles from where he came from. He rode about 2 miles. All this time, he just came on foot, but when he reached there, strategically told them to say, bring the donkey, so that scripture can be fulfilled. And then he went down. And the Bible tells us that as he was going down there, the disciples, they were praising and singing to the Lord. The people joined in unison, and they were also singing, Hosanna. We heard the worship team. They mentioned that. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Glory in the highest. They kept on doing that. And now where I read from verse 39 to 44. The Bible says that the teachers of the law came to Jesus and told him to say, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples to be silent." And Jesus, in reply, he told them to say, "If they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." And then he goes on to weep. The people are rejoicing, and Jesus begins to weep, according to Luke. He begins to weep to say, "If you, even you, Jerusalem, had known the day of your visitation, if you would have known what this day means and the peace that this day brings, you could have rejoiced." That's the implication. You could have rejoiced and you could have not resisted. You could have not even demanded for the people to be silent, but you do not know it. And then he went into giving the prophecy about the coming destruction, which was the literal destruction that was going to come on Jerusalem. He prophesies to say, the time is coming when you are going to be circled around and you'll be destroyed. He went on and on. Now, I don't want to dwell much on those details. I want to look at knowing the Lord's visitation. Today it's Palm Sunday. The palms are a testimony here. They are evident. But do we know this visitation of the Lord? Are we able to discern when the Lord visits us? Are we able to acknowledge, to say, "Yes, this is the Lord's doing. This is the Lord coming"? Or sometimes maybe we may act like the teachers of the law, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who even felt intimidated because they saw that Jesus was having many crowds following him and they were praising him. Different gospel accounts gives us different details and accounts. John gives us that it happened at the time when Jesus had just raised Lazarus from the dead. And because the people, they knew that Jesus, the one who had raised Lazarus from the dead, had come. So they came and they wanted to see him. And in fact, look at the timing of the Lord. It was at the time when the Passover was observed, meaning that all the people within Jerusalem and the people outside, they used to come and gather in numbers. So Jesus was just coming at the right time when Jerusalem was populated at this time. And we are looking at also his way of coming. Now, according to the culture and the tradition in Israel, when a conqueror or a king was coming from war, as he was entering the city, he had to come in a procession. First of all, he had an army which is aligned very well, running beside him. And then he'll be in front, riding on a white horse in triumph. And then songs of praise will be attributed to him to celebrate the victory that he's bringing. And so the people were also expecting the messianic figure to come in the same way. But on the contrary, we are told that Jesus did not ride on a horse, but instead he chose the donkey. And why the donkey? The donkey, because Jesus Christ did not come as a conqueror, as a warlord, like the generals, like these other kings. He came as a king of peace. Because usually, at that time, a donkey was usually ridden by either a merchant or a priest. And it was a sign for peace. Every time somebody was entering the city and is riding on the donkey, they knew that this person was coming in peace. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord with peace. But every time they saw the horse charging, they knew to say a horse is attributed to warfare. But Jesus did not want to come that way. He came on a donkey as a sign of a humble king, a sign of humility, at the same time as a bearer of peace. That's why he even taught them to say, had you known what brings you peace today, you could have rejoiced. But they did not know, even when the Lord visited them. He rode on the donkey, which also represents his bearing of the burdens of the whole world. Donkeys are known to carry burdens. Amen. This is how this Jesus entered the city. And we are seeing that after Jesus entered the city, the people continued to praise him, while others, they didn't like it. Today, I want us to consider, as the Lord is visiting us. Now, for them, it was a different context, because as we are just commemorating this day of Palm Sunday, we know what happens after that. We already know. But for them, they didn't know whether Jesus was going to die, except those that he had shared the information with. But as we know, are we acknowledging his visitation? And it's not just on the Palm Sunday. Jesus came, he died, was buried, resurrected, ascended into heaven, and today is seated at the right hand of the Father as the King of Kings. We are waiting his second coming. Though he is in heaven, he is still visiting people in this world every day. He is still visiting us every day. The people that he was with, the disciples, and those who had believed in him, they recognized his visitation and they started praising him. Hosanna. Now, the word Hosanna, it is a Hebrew word which is pronounced as Hosiana. It means a cry of deliverance. It means God save us. So they were crying to God to say, save us, Lord. Save us, Lord. From what? From their oppression. From their sin. They were crying for his salvation. They were crying for his deliverance. Even today, I want to encourage us that the Lord wants you and me to continue to cry out this cry of Hosanna. Save, Lord. Save us, Lord. We should continue to shout this cry of entreating the Lord to save our lives, to deliver us from different burdens, to save many, those that are family members and they do not know the Lord yet. We should entreat the Lord to save them. And his power to save is still mighty and active, more than ever in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So I want us to consider that as the Lord visits us in this season of Easter, we should acknowledge him. We should know. We should discern. It's interesting to see in the Bible how many people were visited by the Lord and they did not know it and only realized later. We know in the book of Genesis chapter 21, the story of Sarah. She was visited by the Lord through those three angels. She did not know it. And then they gave a prophecy to say, by this time next year, you shall have a son. And she laughed. She thought it was a joke. She was like, at this age, 90, can I even have a child? And
They were outside, but they heard her, though she didn't shout. Just as the Lord knew where the donkey was and what was going to happen. They said, she has laughed. Sarah, you have laughed. She refused. She said, no, I did not. When the Lord visits you, there are two things that happens when God's visitation comes. One, he comes to save or to bless us. He comes to institute justice when he comes. The second thing that God does is that when God visits, he brings judgment. We hear the prophets were prophesying about the coming day of the Lord's visitation. In another way, it is the day of judgment. But in this context, Jesus did not come to judge the world. He came to save the world instead. And we should acknowledge and we should know this visitation of the Lord. Hallelujah. We need to be tuned to the Lord. Because when God visits and we see it, we acknowledge, our lives will never be the same. Will not be the same. Because you will not just have an encounter with this king and then remain the same. The Apostle Paul was visited by the Lord. In fact, he was intercepted by the Lord when he was on his journey to go and persecute the Christians in Damascus. The Lord visited him and his life never remained the same. We know of Elizabeth. She was barren for a long time. The Lord visited the husband, visited her as well. She conceived. Same thing, so many instances. I want to encourage us today that we should open our hearts so that we may be able to discern this visitation of the Lord. Even as we are preparing for Easter, sometimes we just take this season as a holiday and say, okay, yeah, so Palm Sunday, yes. The following thing, we already know it. It's going to be Easter and they will do, you know, the same ones just in line and then it is past. Back to the same business. No. We need to ponder. We need to consider. We need to discern. We need to think about it. This King of Peace, as he comes in his humility, he brings indeed the peace. He brings salvation. The peace that he brings, it is something to do with our deliverance. When God says he's bringing peace, he's making you and me to be at peace with the Lord. What I mean by that is that, you know, you can say that you are fine. I'm not bothered by anything. But if we have not believed in this God, in this King of Peace, our hearts will never be at rest. Even sometimes when we are saying, okay, I'm resting now, I'm taking a nap, we may never be at rest because our souls are still in bondage. But this Jesus brings peace. And I came to tell us this morning that may we open our hearts and receive this peace in the name of Jesus. May we acknowledge this King in our lives as he comes. In fact, is the good part of this King is he's not like, he doesn't want us like to follow him, you know, to pursue him. It's him who is pursuing us. He's the one who pursues us. He's the one who initiates the move. But the problem is, even if we are not the one initiating, we tend to run away from him. He's following us and then we have turned our backs against him. We are running away from him. May we turn to him. The Pharisees, instead of believing, they decided to say, Lord, in fact, for them, it was becoming a threatening thing. When we read different accounts, we are going to hear, they are saying, look, the whole world has gone after him. For them, it was something that was threatening. They saw Jesus coming and the people praising him. They became very uncomfortable. They said, this is going to bring us trouble, perhaps to the Romans. It is going to institute some political insurgents or something. But I want to tell us that when we acknowledge the coming of this King of Peace, the visitation of this peace, we will break out in praise. And no one will be able to stop us in Jesus' name. That's why Jesus told them to say, if you make them quiet, the stones will cry out. Because they had experienced so many miracles. They had witnessed the power of God at work. And there was nothing that was to resist them. They kept on praising this King. I would like us to just have that atmosphere on a daily basis of our lives. May we be looking at this King. May we be praising this King. Even as he follows us, as he pursues us, may we obey him by being in good fellowship with him, rather than running away from him or resist him. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. And now, the other thing that we need to look at is that this King, he was weeping. Now, you and me know that it is not for kings to cry publicly. That is humiliation. Kings will not cry publicly. I don't think I've even ever seen a king crying. Praise God. So kings will not cry publicly. Why? Because they've got a certain status that they maintain. If they are to cry, then they have to leave the presence. For example, when Joseph was in authority and then the brothers came and then, you know, he did all those tests and he saw that they had changed their hearts. He was touched so much. And instead of crying right there in their presence, he decided to leave and he went and he cried secretly. Amen. But look at this humble king. He didn't have that prestige to say, I cannot. Right there, he cried. He mourned, he wept, and the Bible tells us only in two instances when Jesus wept. He wept at the time of Lazarus' death. The Bible says that Jesus wept in John 11, 35, I believe. And then this time, he wept over Jerusalem. He was coming as the King of Peace to fulfill all scripture which was talked about him, to fulfill all prophecy. And yet the people that he was coming to, they did not believe in him, most of them. In fact, they are even the one who are going to put him to death. And hence he was mourning over Jerusalem. Even today, Jesus continues to mourn for his people, because there are those that are still not believing him. Even after his sacrificial death, others are still doubting. They are like, ah, no, did he really die? Talking about resurrection, did he really resurrect? Those are just stories. No, he actually did. And he wants us to just believe. You can see the love that he has for us. For him to cry out publicly in the city. The king is crying. He's still doing that today. even as he is standing at the right hand of the Father doing intercession, is still crying out in prayer for you and me. He is such a very humble king. May we respond with love to this humble king. May we respond with praise. May we respond by giving ourselves totally to him. Because for him to say, if you knew what would bring you peace today, he is crying, implies that he was expecting them to know, and he was expecting them to acknowledge, to give him all the praise, to rejoice, but they did not. May we be the people who are discerning, who are able to know his visitation. And as I've earlier mentioned, that his mission was to bring peace. His mission was to bring deliverance. That's why the people were quoting Psalm 118, verse 25 and 26. 25 says, Lord, save us. And then 26 says, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. That is the phrase Hosanna. Verse 25, Lord, save us. This morning, if we have any burdens that we are carrying upon our hearts, in our families, in any form, we have the King who is a burden carrier. Is here, is there always to carry our burdens. All he wants you to do and me is to believe in him, to acknowledge his presence, to acknowledge his visitation, to surrender to him. Everything was just symbolic. Even the instructions about the donkey, Jesus was showing. Other gospels, Luke and Mark, they have said that, they have implied that he was borrowing it to say, tell them that the master is in need of it, the Lord is in need of it, and he will return it shortly. But Luke doesn't give us those details. He just aligns it to say it was the way it was. Amen. It shows that Jesus is all-knowing. We cannot doubt that Jesus knew where the donkey was. The Bible tells us in the book of John, is it chapter 1, verse 33 or 32? It talks of Nathanael, who had not been with him. And when the brother came, when he came actually to him, he spoke prophetically using the word of knowledge. And he told him to say, you are a good Jew. Here comes the true Israelite. And he was like, how did you know? And then he told him to say, actually, I saw you before you came here when you were seated under the fig tree. That was strange because he had not told anybody that he was there. He told him everything. So Jesus is all-knowing. He's all-knowing about what is going on in your life and in my life. Though we may not share things with other people, Jesus is all-knowing. Hallelujah. And is the Lord of all creation. He gave that command at that time because he knew that the donkey belongs to him and the owners belong to him. So that's why he said, go and tell them if they ask you that the master, the Lord is in need of it. That's it. I came to tell us this morning that the Lord is in need of our services. The Lord is in need of our lives. The Lord is in need of everything that belongs to us. The whole of us. The Lord is in need of us. We need to surrender to him. Hallelujah. And by doing so, we are going to see the benefit of being in fellowship with this King. We will have peace upon our souls. Every fear will be silenced. Boldness is going to come upon us. Even when they are telling us, be silent, that's when we'll be shouting all the more. When I was reading that portion, I was reminded of Bartimaeus. That time it was the disciples who were stopping him. They said, be quiet, do not disturb the master. Be silent, you are making noise. That's when he was told to say, increase the pitch now. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. Be quiet. That's when he called all the more. May we shout all the more when others are telling us to keep quiet. May we share and preach the gospel all the more when others are telling us to be silent. There are some people who are not very comfortable to talk about the things of God. The moment you begin, like, you know, talking about something relating to God, you hear them changing stories and bringing in other topics. They'll bring maybe science or some mathematical discussion or something, or some philosophical debates. But you have to bring them back to the point. Hallelujah. Of course, we have to do it with wisdom and love. Hallelujah. May we not stop the visitation of the King is here today. This King has visited us here today. Do we acknowledge him? Are we discerning his presence? May he help us to be aware of his presence in our lives. And may we celebrate this King all the days of our lives. May we surrender our burdens to this King. Amen. May I ask that we just stand? And I'll ask the worship team to come. So, at this moment, I just want you to just take a few minutes to just consider your life. To just look at your family. Which areas do you want the King of Peace to visit? Which area of your life do you need the Lord's visitation? And then, when you identify that, I would like to encourage you to call upon the name of this King, just as the people shouted, Hosanna, Hosanna, which means save us, Lord. Save us, Lord. If you are sick, you shout that Hosanna for the Lord to heal you. If you feel depressed, you shout that Hosanna for the Lord to bring peace over your life. If you feel bound, you cry out that Hosanna for the Lord to set you free. Hallelujah. Perhaps you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. This King is present with his arms open to receive you. As you are crying out that Hosanna, save, O Lord, is here to save, so that your life and my life may be at peace with him. Amen. I want us just to lift up our hands, if we may.
as a sign of surrender. And as we pray, as the Lord speaks to you, as He reveals those areas He wants to visit in your life, speak, call those areas out. Speak them out. Pray to the Lord that He visits you right now. Holy Spirit, we are so grateful for your presence right now. Father, we are so grateful, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you, Jesus, for your visitation. Lord, we choose to discern this morning of your visitation. We are tuned in the Spirit. Visit our areas, O God, of insufficiency. Visit our areas, O Lord, of sicknesses. Visit our families, O God. All the disunity in our families, we cry that Hosanna, Lord. Hosanna in our families, Lord. We cry the Hosanna in our families, Lord. We cry the Hosanna in the congregation. The Hosanna, O God, in our marriages. The Hosanna, O Lord, we cry out in our nation. We cry the Hosanna, O God, in our workplaces. Save us, Lord. Save us, O King of Peace. Save us, King of Kings, this morning. In the name of Jesus. Father, we pray, O God, that visit us, O Lord, and transform our lives today. Have mercy, Lord, upon us. For you've been visiting us over and over, but we've been resisting your presence. We've been resisting your call, O God. Just like the Pharisees and the Sadducees did, O Lord. We choose to soften our hearts today. Holy Spirit, have your way upon us. Have your way upon our hearts, O God. We declare humility upon us. The spirit of humility, take over. Take over right now in the name of Jesus. Take over, our Lord. Touch our hearts, Lord. Save us, Lord. Save us, Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna to the King of Kings. Hosanna to the King of Peace. Hosanna to the Messiah. We pray for mercy, Lord. Save us from every yoke of oppression. Deliver us from every yoke, O Lord, every bondage that the enemy has kept us under for a long time. In the mighty name of Jesus, break every chain, O God. Hosanna to your holy name. Break every shackle out of our lives right now. In the mighty name of Jesus. Every condition, every cancer, Lord, every sickness, we cry out that Hosanna this morning. Save us, O Lord. Deliver us, O God. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Save us from every fear, Lord. Set us free from every fear. In the name of Jesus, let your freedom come upon each one of us. Let your freedom come upon our families, Lord. May we recognize with our families the visitation of the King of Peace. We invite you, King of Peace, in our family. We will come and acknowledge your visitation in our lives. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. For Lord, you've been mourning over us for a long time. You've been crying. You've been crying for us. You've been crying for our souls, Lord. You've been crying for the salvation of our souls. And we've kept on resisting you in so many ways. But this morning, Lord, we choose to surrender and cry that Hosanna in the loudest. Hosanna to the King of Kings. Hosanna to the Lord, our Savior. Thank you, Jesus. We surrender to you, Lord. We surrender everything to you, Lord. We are the reason why you came and suffered all the humiliation. All the shame was upon you. All the sins of our lives were upon you on that cross. We therefore choose to respond back in love. Have your way, Lord, in our lives. In Jesus' name.
I pray this morning, there are those in our midst who've been experiencing that lack of peace upon your hearts, that battle within your souls. I declare that as you utter that hosanna, the Lord is here to save. The Lord is here to silence every storm of your life, because He is the King of peace. I pray for all those that have been hearing the invitation of this King, that have been seeing the visitation of this King, yet we've been resisting Him. He's been calling us to serve Him, to work for Him, to worship Him, yet we've been resisting Him. I pray right now that the Lord touches you, that the Lord convicts that heart right now, in the name of Jesus. For you are valuable, you are so precious in His eyes. That's why He keeps on calling, bidding. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. I pray that, Lord, lift up every burden this morning. I pray that, Lord, whatever the enemy has been doing upon the lives of your children, from today, as we choose to welcome you, may you help us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let freedom come. Let the freedom of Easter come. Let the power of the shedding of your blood, of the resurrection, Lord, come. We pray that, Lord, the way you mourned over Jerusalem, because the city did not recognize your visitation, will not happen to us, Lord. You will not mourn for us even on your second coming, Lord, that we did not acknowledge your visitation. Blessed be your name, Lord. Have mercy upon all our rebellions, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. Help us to live lives that are pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.